If you're a sentimentalist with an intense attachment to perfect pop, there is a great chance that you've encountered a lyric that has encapsulated something personal, something important that, despite all odds, seems to be especially relevant to your set of circumstances. Hi, this is Elle from Cassettes and Chocolate Milk, and this is the third episode of a mini-series called Consequential Lyrics. This series is designed to explore the stories behind those particular lyrical fragments that manage to take on a greater personal significance. In these six episodes, I'll be going into some detail as to why I find some of my favourite lyrics so meaningful, but you can take part two and share your favourite consequential lyric for the final fan podcast of the series. For details about how to contribute, please visit cassettesandchocolate.blogspot.com and follow the prompts. I'm quite thrilled to be presenting the consequential lyrics for this artist right here, the four and sometimes three from Basildon, Depeche Mode. It's difficult to sum up the significance of these guys, but I could perhaps start by saying that lovers of Depeche Mode would be quick to insist that their lyrics are so rich and provocative and so intense and immediate. In the years that I've loved them, I've appreciated how Depeche Mode fans were always so attentive and devoted, often citing their personal affinity with the lyrics of Martin Gore. How to sum up those themes, how to sum up that consequence. As a 15-year-old, I insisted that my love of Depeche Mode was firmly grounded in their unique brand of dark romanticism. As years have passed, I've often returned to that idea that any two Depeche Mode fans understand what love encompasses exactly. It is a longing for romance, distant and forbidden, not to mention lengthy discussions over late-night drives in Anton Corbijn's Dutch countryside. It's cinematic, and it's painful, and it's perfect. I'll start all this with a relatively early track. This is See You from the 1982 album A Broken Frame. Unsurprisingly, its significance was grounded in a particularly redundant, ongoing desire to catch up with my older man crush. However, I should perhaps mention that I did not recognise the significance of these lyrics until 5 years into the entanglement, and I became reacquainted with those fantastic lines, "Well, I know 5 years is a long time, and times change, but I think you will find that people are basically the same."
Thank you.
It's only a single line in a song, but for me, it continues to be the most meaningful of all Depeche Mode lyrics. With or without words, I'll confide everything. It features on Here Is the House from the 1986 album Black Celebration, and I continuously return to it as a reminder of how it was when I was 15 and I so desperately wanted to converse with that musically sophisticated older man crush. There was never a great deal of time and there were always people around, but I would always crowbar whatever anecdotes I could about Depeche Mode, Erasure, New Order or The Cure. I would always be sure to follow up on his recommendations and my head would often explode upon receiving a cassette of recommended listening. That line reminded me of how much more I wanted to say in any given conversation, if only I had the time or the opportunity. Even now, I want these kinds of discussions to be endless. With or without words, I'll confide everything, gave me some comfort in that, although I never got the chance to say what I wanted, something more important could have been conveyed implicitly.
Here is the house where it all happens. Those tender moments under this roof. Body and soul come together as we come closer together. And as it happens here in this house.
I cannot think of another song which manages to so successfully articulate the pains of being inarticulate. Released as a standalone single in 1985, Shake the Disease is a miraculously succinct declaration for anyone who has ever been stifled and frustrated. Here is a plea from my heart to you. Nobody knows me as well as you do. You know how hard it is for me to shake the disease that takes hold of my tongue in situations like these. I've seen fans quote this couplet time and time again. I've seen them say, this is me, this is how I felt. And although I'm certain I must have felt this way at some point in time, that anxiety seems to have been eclipsed with how amazing I think those lines are now. To express that so cleanly and effectively in such a way that millions of people can identify with it intimately, I think that's pretty awesome.
People have to be permanently together.
With Depeche Mode, there were always daydreams. There were always expectations. Their lyrical themes always had the tendency to be hopelessly relevant, especially with a large chunk of their songs involving secret communications with a mysterious 15-year-old girl. She can't drive, she likes the nighttime, and she can't keep a secret. Goodness, the similarities are endless. The truth is, I didn't cultivate these interpretations in isolation. I would make Depeche Mode and Erasure mixtapes for my best friend Missy Law, who would indulge me with all kinds of theories about the application and the relevance of these songs. She always loved this song right here, the 1984 single Somebody. Martin Gore sings of this deeply sincere longing for his perfect kind of love. Listening to it, you can't help but feel that he's really longing for understanding more than anything else. Missy Law would always say, those lyrics are perfect, with exception to that line about his perverted thoughts. Why did he have to put that in? And I guess it's for that reason that she owns Somebody. She always had the love, the patience, and the insight to see the hidden depth in these songs. Her support and her influence is extraordinary.
I want somebody to share the rest of my life, share my innermost thoughts, know my intimate details. Someone will stand by my side and give me support, and in return she'll get my support. She will listen to me when I want to speak about the world we live in and life in general. Though my views may be wrong, they may even be perverted, she'll hear me out and won't easily be converted to my way of thinking. In fact, she'll often disagree, but at the end of it all, she will understand me. I don't want to be tied to anyone's strings. I'm carefully trying to steer clear of those things. But when I'm asleep, I want somebody who will put their arms around and kiss me tenderly. No things like this make me sick. In a case like this, I'll get away with it. Thank you.
I'm loath to say it, but Dave and the Boys actually went so far as to openly diss the next track I'm about to feature, which is kind of sad because But Not Tonight happens to be my declaration of a perfect kind of love and a perfect kind of night. But Not Tonight is kind of mysterious in that we don't have any real sense of what is happening on this night. There is a vague impression of darkness and rain and maybe there's a car, but the scene isn't really important. It's just that sense of euphoria and gratitude that Dave is experiencing at this very moment in time. And I think that's why I love But Not Tonight as much as I do. It's a sentimentality that does not rely on distant memories. It's a love that's grounded in the moment. It's a love that allows you to wholly appreciate every second as it passes you by.
Tonight.
Although it's a song that's been widely interpreted as being about drugs, Never Let Me Down Again remains to be one of those songs that I've tried to keep as clean and as sober as possible. I'm taking a ride with my best friend. It's a declaration of adventure and of friendship, and there's that alluring promise of escape and euphoria. Of course, the romanticism of that ideal is reflected in Anton Corbijn's artistic direction. The video clip is, as you'd expect it, Dave driving in a teeny tiny car past the cornfields of rural Holland with Martin, Fletch and Alan emphatically running and pointing at nothing. However, the most interesting aspect of Never Let Me Down Again is that it is not, but not tonight. The adventure and euphoria is fraught with a suspicion and that vague sense of mistrust. I hope he never lets me down again. It says so much about forgiveness and whether a damaged partnership can ever truly be repaired.
Thank you.
I have often thought that the stylistic development of Depeche Mode reflects the phases that a teenager might go through. Depeche Mode started off as being very pop in 1981, very innocent, doe-eyed and gooey, religious, although they wouldn't want you to know that, and jumping at every opportunity to be seen anywhere. When you start to get around Black Celebration in 1986, there is a greater awareness of image, of coolness, of darkness, and a conscious appropriation of dangerous imagery. When we get to Songs of Faith and Devotion in 1993, it's full on. We're dealing with sex, delinquency, and drugs. Mostly drugs. But saying that, this is when Depeche Mode are musically at their most potent. What was actually happening was that the band was on the brink of collapse. Dave Gahan was addicted to heroin, Martin Gore was an alcoholic, Fletch was suffering from depression, Alan Wilder was on the verge of leaving the band, and he did after contributing to this album. It's fascinating to consider Songs of Faith and Devotion from that perspective. That tension is there in the songs, but more interestingly than that, we're left to consider the effect of Dave singing and taking ownership of the words and meanings of Martin. A song like Walking in My Shoes presents itself like a defensive treatise from Dave the addict. I can do this. You don't know what I've been through. I suppose we don't understand, and that's the whole point of the song, but we're intrigued with how this went down exactly. For some reason, we're fascinated with self-destruction and why people take the paths they take, and in the specific case of Depeche Mode, how it could have started off so innocuously and finally come to this very desperate, very dangerous point.
I'm same appointments I get. If you try walking in my shoes, you'll stumble in my footsteps. Keep the same appointments I get. If you try walking in my shoes, try walking in my shoes. If you try walking in my shoes, try walking.
Even though we've been going on for ages and we're nearly at the end of this thing, we've hardly scratched the surface of the lyrical consequence of Depeche Mode. As you would expect from a band whose career spans well over 30 years, and from a lyricist as eloquent as Martin Gore, there is always more intriguing themes and lyrics. There's always perverse sexual practices, perverse business practices, Catholic guilt, divorced parent guilt. But not only that, their music consistently manages to be both evocative and provocative. And I appreciate how they've managed to develop a widespread culture of lyrical appreciation. I'll always marvel at how Martin can sum up emotions so easily, and for this reason, they will always own a significant portion of my heart. I will leave you with the 1984 single, Blasphemous Rumours. I'm sure it wouldn't surprise you to hear that this was pretty controversial for its time, what with the chorus, "I don't want to start any blasphemous rumours, but I think that God has a sick sense of humour, and when I die I expect to find him laughing." A compelling narrative runs throughout the verses, one that I won't spoil now, but let's just say it seems to justify the contention stated in the chorus. Irrespective of your personal feelings on God or religion or whatever, you have to admire Martin's capacity to express all that in such a chilling and succinct way. Thank you very much for listening to the third episode of Consequential Lyrics. I hope that it's inspired you to think of the way that you derive meaning from the songs you love. If you would like to read more about the project, please visit cassettesandchocolate.blogspot.com for essays, the zine, and information about how you can contribute. For part four, we'll be talking about the Pet Shop Boys, so please drop on by shortly.